The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes their friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies from the 80s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
Tom Hanks trying really hard not to get laid.
Not Leia Thompson peacocking like she's Neil Strauss. Google it.
Tom Hanks' disturbingly well-defined penis.
This is Blockbuster Nostalgia, Turner and Hooch. Hey everybody, welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia. EG Sites here.
Francisco Landin.
We're joined by two special guests. Introduce yourself. I'm not going to do it, so speak up.
Hi, this is Emma. Again.
And our new guest.
Hi, this is Erica. Was I supposed to give a last name?
You don't have to. Okay. Just get up on that mic.
Oh, okay. Hi, this is Erica.
There we go.
I'm not editing any of that out.
No, so that's all staying in.
It's all staying in.
God damn it, Eric. After I showed interest in your nub, too, I just... Yes. Really
she did. She did show an interest in your nub earlier.
I pointed.
That was
at
a whole
everything.
Conversation. Yeah. Anyway, today we're talking about Turner and Hooch. Tom Hanks, second appearance by Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks is back, and he brought along a giant dog. Yeah.
Named Craig T. Nelson.
Named Craig T. Nelson.
For the second appearance of
and
Craig
also
T. Nelson.
And also a second dog, Carl Weathers.
Carl Weathers. Officer Winslow from Family Matters, right?
No, it's not Carl Weathers.
No, Carl, because we talked about
this
before.
It's Winslow, right?
It's, yeah, Carl Winslow.
Carl Weathers again, Apollo Creed.
Yeah, no, it's Carl Winslow who plays cops in everything he fucking does. It's,
well, Reginald Vell Johnson,
yes.
With an E.
It's not Val, it's Vell.
Yes, Vell Johnson, who of course...
That's a fancy name.
It is.
Plays cops.
He's a fancy man.
In everything he's ever done.
Yeah, everything. He's like the less successful Forrest Whitaker.
Yeah.
He just plays cops all the time.
Where was his call for Star Wars?
Yeah. Nope. No such thing, sir.
And it's cruel when he only has like 1 year left of his career.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, we talked about how surprised we were that he's still alive.
Yeah.
TikTok, Rich. TikTok.
Yeah, yeah.
Big guy.
You got this, man. You got this.
Yeah.
You got this for the Family Matters reunion.
Netflix will surely make within the next 2-3 years.
Urkel is just ruling the world at that point. I hope they go like post-apocalyptic on that. And it's just Urkel rules the world, and it's like a Mad Max world of everybody trying
to beat
Urkel?
Him.
Yeah.
Urkel is now like the CPU in Tron.
Yeah. He just controls everything.
He's the Loki.
Yeah, he's like the Loki. He's just the bad guy.
Yeah.
He's like the Lady Catherine de Bourgh.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Screw you guys. You was like not to get a reference.
You showed us.
Yeah, and I didn't even do one correctly. It's the worst part.
Stop being smarter than us. All right?
The only references you're allowed to make are Star Wars and Lord of the Rings.
Have
you not listened to this
Sylvester
podcast? Sylvester Stallone. Yeah.
I can talk to you about the naps I've taken during those movies. So yeah, I got this.
I hopefully they were good naps.
Very good.
Nap 1 and 2. So 1989, Turner Hooch comes out, blows the box office up with $71,079,000.
So this is the podcast that we review the top 105 grossing movies of the 1980s. That's why we're talking about the box office.
Yeah, of course.
If this is the first time you're listening in.
Yeah, we're like 20-something in on
the list, we're like 26 episodes, I think this is.
Yeah, something like that, right?
Yeah.
We're good. We broke the 71 million. Before that, it was 70 million. Turner Hooch, Tom Hanks, who else better to do it than Tom Hanks?
Tom Hanks. We already talked about him a lot in Splash, but I was re-listening to the Splash episode, and I realized we missed a great opportunity for me to drop my absolutely perfect Tom Hanks impression.
Oh, awesome.
I completely forgot that I have a 100% accurate Tom Hanks impression.
Oh, let's hear this.
All right. Come on. Yeah, excuse me. Excuse me.
Come on, red leather, yellow leather.
I would just cut
red
in leather. Like actual sound clips. Of Tom
Hanks. I'm hurt. You don't feel like I have a 100% perfect Tom Hanks impression.
Yeah, he's not opening anything on YouTube.
12 lines from Toy Story.
Yeah. Just it's all Buzz Lightyear stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Excuse me. Let me just
come
prepare.
On, Eric. You can
prepare.
Do this. You can do this. No pressure. Make it perfect. Come on.
Hello, it's me, Tom Hanks, from my hit movie Turner and Hooch. Hello, Tom Hanks. This is absolutely Tom Hanks' voice.
Shit. That is accurate. That is, wow.
I was like, Mr. Hanks, can I have your autograph? Yeah. Mr. Hanks, please.
I owe you an apology. I really do. I'm sorry I'm so cruel and mean.
Please, can I have your autograph? And then I was like, oh, no, wait, that's just Graham.
No, yeah, it wasn't.
That's just Eric wandered the whole time. I thought it was Tom Hanks.
It's Tom Hanks just popped in.
I also thought it was Tom Cruise in one of the Mission Impossible on one of his,
I also do a very excellent Tom Cruise.
Let's hear it. All
right, Do one Tom Cruise for us.
All right, let me do Tom Cruise real quick. It's a very different. I got to get in a different headspace. I got to think about running.
Think about your thetans.
I got to think about being
Zenu.
A very short
hail
man.
Hail Zenu. Or are we supposed to hail Zenu or hate him?
I don't remember. I don't know.
Hail
but
and
no,
or
I
got to
remember Zenu. This because I got to get in character. All right, so Tom Hanks jumping on couches, mm-hmm. finding mm-hmm. Katie Holmes attractive. Okay, I'm there.
Yeah,
I'm there.
Not gay.
Not totally not gay.
Totally
so
100%
straight.
Not gay.
Vaginas are good.
Vagina.
Enjoyable.
Still working out really hard in my 50s.
They're just like buttholes, but softer.
Yeah. All right. I think I'm in that headspace now.
Yeah.
Hello, it is me, Tom. Tom Cruise. Ow. I am from Mission Impossible. Ow.
You got this Tom actor situation down. Down pat.
Thank you. All right.
Are we done, Grandpa Eric?
Definitely not. But we can talk about the movie.
All right.
I feel like anybody should be talking about, when they listen to this podcast, they should be talking about your description of vaginas, which is buttholes but softer.
What? I can say that. I've got both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. So, you can say whatever you want. Yeah. It's a podcast.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank God.
We apologize for nothing except for sound quality.
Yeah, that's the only thing we ever apologize for. And we already have the disclosure saying we talk about sex and shit, so mm-hmm. whatever.
Yeah.
So anyway, this movie is just pretty much Tom Hanks. He's a cop.
He is a cop.
He gets teamed up with a big rowdy dog.
Wait. We got to back up and discuss what kind of cop he is. That is really true. What kind of person Officer Hanks is. Because I never caught it what his name was. Turner.
Scott Turner. his name is actually on the fucking VHS box.
I'm extremely sober right now.
Yeah.
I didn't get his first name.
His name is Hooch. That's the reason for the name of the movie.
Hooch Turner.
He is Hooch Turner.
Hooch Turner.
It's just like Magnum P.I.
It's a play on words. Turner and Hooch is because his name is Hooch Turner.
Yeah.
They just switched it up.
He has multiple personalities. And actually, it's a Fight Club situation. The dog is all in his head.
So it's
Turner and Hooch are both Tom Hanks.
He just made that. Yeah. The dog is just there to free him from his humdrum life.
Get him to make bombs out of soap.
Yeah. Now that we've covered that in the Ferris Bueller episode, I feel like that applies to every movie. Ever.
Yeah. Pretty much.
The antagonist is just there to free him from his humdrum life.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
But yes, Officer Tomathan Hanks.
Scott Turner. He is a very neat...
He has OCD.
He's a very OCD, very neat guy.
No, how OCD can he be with the orange juice and the wood?
Yeah, so they're a little inconsistent budgie. At times.
Yeah, there's a little bit of like... He's OCD, but not with everything. Like, I feel like Tom Hanks' actual slobby personality comes through in this. Yeah. But he's supposed to be, like, the super OCD dog, OCD guy. And then the dog comes out, and the dog is a super slobbery kind of like grossed on.
Yeah, and by coincidence, Tom Hanks is suddenly okay with, you know, backwashing the OJ right from the...
Yeah.
Well, it's right after he has sex, in fairness. And it's, you know, sex changes a man.
Sex changes all men. Everything is different after that.
I mean, that's what I've heard.
I think we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, if you had ever had sex, yeah, then
I would know. But, yeah.
But here we are.
Instead, I collected X-Men comics.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
No, that is a negative stereotype, and I refuse to acknowledge it. So yes, he's a super meticulous guy. We see that from the very beginning. His house is super neat. He has a vacuum in his car so that he can... Well, what were those called? The handheld vacuums? They were like the...
Dustbusters.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. He has one of those in his car so that when... Reginald Vell Johnson decides to get a little snack on.
Yeah, eat some chips and shit.
Yeah, clean them up. Right,
that was
right
muffins.
There. Muffin.
Muffin. Yeah, yeah, that's right. It was a muffin.
Well, it could have been chips in the past, but in
you're
this,
right. It is a muffin.
In this specific situation, it is a muffin. Right. Yeah.
I mean, we even get like a nice, you know, really hammy reaction from Mr. Vell Johnson.
Yes.
Yeah.
With the muffin crumbs on his shirt, it's like, yeah, it's a very good. It's a good face.
Yeah, doesn't care. He's a fat. Dude, like, he doesn't care. He'll eat whatever. Yeah. Wherever. No matter what this pigsqueak.
Yeah, he's not going to listen to Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Well, he's not a pigsqueak where it matters, you know.
Yeah. Oh,
That's true.
So he spends a lot of this movie in his underwear.
Yeah, and like this little like Speedo type underwear.
Yeah, like black Speedo underwear that he rocks.
Banana hammock.
Yeah, as you said, leaving very little to the imagination.
Yeah.
Nearly nothing. It's all out there. Things are very clearly defined in a very disturbing way. I'm very glad you don't have one of those 4K TVs, you know. And this wasn't
we
like
we would have seen all of it.
If this would have been like one of those HD, you know, extreme remasterings, it just would have been a very unfortunate situation for everyone, I think.
Or fortunate.
Or we would just all have black eyes.
Yeah. Oh, can you 3D? Put that in your VR thing? Because that would...
We could VR that.
Yeah. VR.
Okay, like if whoever made Touchstone Pictures, if you're listening, please, VR version of...
Of Turner and Hooch.
Just Turner.
You don't want the dog coming at you?
Just Turner. And without the blue shirt tucked into the budgie smuggler.
Yeah, that's an interesting look. That's a look I don't think I've seen before.
Yeah.
The shirt tucked into the underwear.
Not
yeah.
to an adult. A child might do it on accident.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, or a very drunk woman.
Sure.
You know.
A story you want us to share with us? Is that...
Well, usually it's my skirts. Like into my tights,
and then
out of the bathroom.
Yeah, and then like an hour later, I have like a very kindly older African American lady telling me that I'm showing a bit of cheek.
It's always the old.
And
black
I think
ladies.
I'm like, did it's I sass her? I was like trying to remember where I was like rude to a nice church lady, but no, it's just my ass hanging out. And this is relevant because you know, Tom Hanks' dick is hanging out in a very contained way, which I think suits the tone of the movie of his character.
Yeah.
Because his character is very constrained.
Very
exactly.
Contained, yeah.
So his penis and his apparently very large testicles are just
maybe it was warm in there.
No. Because I mean, it's a very it's a good size and yet very compact package.
Exactly. I think
it's like when
you
buy
though.
One of those memory foam mattresses and it's been you know
air you know all the air has been taken out.
I think that exactly. Yeah. I think that and I think that would explain like all the
vacuum
scratches on his back later on.
I think this makes a lot of sense actually for his character. This is a character choice. That they really wanted to compact that junk to show he was a wild man inside, but it took the power of a giant 100-pound slobbering dog to
bring it out.
To bring it out, yeah.
And one pickup artist
and
of
one,
a vet.
Exactly. One vet / pickup artist to really get into that Tom Hanks wild side.
Also, if you wanted to know what is like above average, watch this movie with a couple of chicks, and they'll be like, "Holy shit, Tom Hanks!"
It's true.
Yeah,
it was the side silhouette. Just
the side.
I took notes.
Yeah,
I took notes.
Yeah, that's
like,
when
right,
I paid attention.
I know.
No, actually, we rewound it.
Yeah, that's right. We rewanted to see it again.
Yeah.
I mean, not me.
Right.
I don't need to see it again. What am I going to see it again?
You had the remote.
It, yeah. It, Francisco that let's own up to that.
Anyway, the guy who directed this movie. yeah, the guy who directed is Roger Spottiswood. I don't know how to fucking say his name. Spottiswood? I don't know.
If we don't know, he doesn't matter.
He's directed a ton of shit, but none of it really recognizable except for...
he did End of Days with Schwarzenegger.
No, Sixth Day.
Or Sixth Day, rather, with Schwarzenegger.
See, he never heard of it.
Tomorrow Never Dies.
Tomorrow Never Dies. Ooh. James Bond. What Pierce Brosnan. Terry Hatcher. Michelle Yeoh.
Tomorrow Never Dies.
Yeah.
I've heard of Terry Hatcher.
Very recently, he's still a working director. He did Street Cat Named Bob.
Yeah.
Which is a movie about a guy who's a heroin addict. That a cat comes into his life and changes his life.
Yeah. I was hoping it was like a Freaky Friday thing.
Yeah, yeah, where he just becomes a cat.
He's like trying to shoot up Smack as a
cat. There is a movie like that. Nine Lives with Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey and Christopher Walken just throwing their fucking career, like their talent away.
And it's a
shit-filled movie.
No. But it's Kevin Spacey.
Talking about Lindsay Lohan. Yeah.
But is Kevin Spacey doing drugs in this? Is he like snorting cocaine as a cat?
He's just doing the voice of a cat.
He's just like, hey, what happened to me? I'm a cat now. Yeah. What? And then Christopher Walken is like, you're a cat now. I can't do it, Christopher Walken. But he's doing it.
You know who can do a really nice Christopher Walken is Eric.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Show us your Christopher Walken.
All right, fine. Let me just get into that. I got to, you know, it's the long pauses. Obviously, everyone knows. Yeah, you know, it's a Shatner, but a little bit different than Shatner.
More thoughtful.
More like, you know, he cerebral. Takes out the punctuation. Very cerebral. Very thinking about it. Very kind of spiritual almost.
Takes a lot of preparation.
Yeah, it takes a lot of preparation.
He's like the Dolly of talking.
He really is. He really is. Let me just focus in. Hello, it is me, Christopher Walken. I am here to be in, like, tell you about cats.
Oh my God. Mr. Walken.
Mr. Walken.
Oh, shit.
Wow, tell us about your craft.
Yeah, I thought we were in a Fatboy Slim video.
I will tell you about shoving watch of us.
It's the best Christopher Walken I've ever fucking heard.
Yeah, can I just say, Mr. Walken, I really loved your roast chicken recipe. That was, that was a bomb.
Did Christopher Walken have a roast chicken recipe?
Oh, yeah, it's on YouTube.
Is it awesome?
Yeah, and it's a really good recipe, and he's doing it in his actual kitchen. Like, you can tell, this is like a real person kitchen, not like a architectural digest, you know. Yeah, this is...
Holy shit.
Yeah, and it's really bad quality. Like, it's just someone with a, you know...
like an iPhone?
Yeah.
Just his phone.
It's like someone with, like, one of those... Remember those flip... What are they called?
The flip phones?
Yeah.
It's just like one of those.
It's
and
like a BlackBerry.
Yeah, like, he's just, like, mostly a silhouette, you know, every time he goes past a window. And,
that's funny.
Yeah.
That's really awesome.
Because we're walking talking about chicken.
And like the chicken comes out and like some of it, I think some of it was like kind of burnt and he's like, it's okay because it's crispy. And we're like, you know, like in Christopher Walken.
I mean, all of us can do your great impressions.
Yeah.
Not everyone is as blessed as I am.
So that was important to know.
Yeah, that's good.
No, it's awesome.
Gotta fucking Google it. So
yeah, Google it, guys. Google that.
Absolutely, YouTube, I want to look that up.
Yeah.
Christopher Walken chicken. Fuck yeah. So yeah, we get to see a lot of Tom Hanks nub, and we also get to see him in glasses.
Yeah, so much more than a nub.
Glasses, you, Tom Hanks.
All right, well,
that's a pretty nice handful.
Again, if you ever want to know,
right.
Above average. Watch this show with some chicks, they will tell you Tom Hanks is above average. Yeah. That's where all his talent is there. That's where he packs all his talent. That's where Forrest Gump is from.
Yeah. You know, his son looks a lot like Colin Hanks. I wonder if he takes after him
in a penis area?
Yeah.
So Colin Hanks, come on the podcast, talk about
your penis size.
Or if you could just like take a role where we could just see your clearly defined junk.
Just do full frontal, man.
It doesn't have to be compressed or anything,
you
know.
Don't
just
have to vacuum seal that
be
shit.
British about it. Just let it, you know, hang free.
How weird would it be if that happened? And we're just like, remember that time Colin Hanks came in here and just dropped on? Like his dick was out. We saw his dick.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Colin Hanks.
All right. Good job.
Good job. good looking out.
He has really creepy slender fingers, though. I don't think it's a thing that would happen.
It might be like long but really thin, which is just like not a good look.
No, this is what happens when you get two chicks on this podcast.
Hi, and welcome back to Penis Chat.
We get a good juxtaposition to our usual. To our usual there were tits in this.
Yeah, that's true. That's
there was tits in this.
And for the record, there were no tits in this.
There were definitely no tits.
We saw a nipple in this. No. We get a lot of talk about the penis.
There was a lot of like junk. Yeah. Male, mass. There was Tom Hanks, okay, and then there was like a lot of '80s, you know.
Yeah, there was a lot of dog junk in there.
A lot of dog. Like at some point, it was just like, it kind of looked like, you know, remember American Gladiators, how they had like the log on chains, just like
it was just a lot of that back and forth.
But you know, the log was
Tom Hanks
furry,
trying to like,
and
like maneuver past it.
Yeah.
Win that cash award.
There was that very tender, and I hate to call it a lovemaking scene, but you know, Turner and Hooch were cuddling, were play fighting, shall we say?
Yeah, that's right.
And you know, play fighting. The neck biting scene was very tender. Mm-hmm. The music that was playing was like weirdly romantic. Because, you know, he put his hand on the back of the dog's neck, kind of like when you do to someone when you're like going to bring him in for a kiss. And the dog was like making the same noise that I make when someone cries. So I was like, all right. Things are going to get hot in here.
Yeah. Like, I see what's going on here. All right. I get it.
I'm drunk enough to let this happen.
This movie about the unconventional romance of Tom Hanks and the dog. French Mastiff.
Which clearly he loves far more than the actual romantic lead of the film.
Yeah. It was an interesting directorial choice, and I wonder how Henry Winkler would have done that scene.
Yeah, so Henry Winkler was originally directed.
A.K.A. the Fonz.
A.K.A. the Fonz, yeah, the coolest motherfucker there was in 1980s, 1950s.
Yeah, 1970s, 1950s. Oh, 1950s,
yeah. Also, the possessor of a pair of jeans that just really, you know, I'm gesturing towards my genitals in case you're not sure.
He also jumped a shark.
Yeah. Literally,
which is what
he
they
is
talk
the
about.
Actual, he started that meme.
In a pair of very tiny shorts.
With fucking motorcycle. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he was originally directing this movie.
No, jet skis.
Yeah, he was on skis.
Oh, skis, on skis.
Get it right,
he should have been on a
Francisco.
Motorcycle. He should have been on a motorcycle.
He should have been on a motorcycle.
It would have made more sense.
Yeah, because he's a Fonz.
But then why would a shark be in a dirt road?
He could have jumped a motorcycle over the ocean.
Over the ocean?
He was the Fonz.
Over the Atlantic or the Pacific?
No, like, not all the way over.
Maybe like one of those Great Lakes.
From the shore onto a boat.
Where was Happy Days set?
Yeah.
Was it in
Happy Days was set in America.
I know, but where in America?
America.
Because they knew Laverne and Shirley.
Actually,
and Laverne
was,
and Shirley
was Milwaukee.
Was Milwaukee, right?
I think
it
may have been like Green Bay, Milwaukee.
Great Lakes.
Area. Yeah.
So he could have.
Yeah, jumped, one side of the lake from the other side.
Yeah, because he's a Fonz and he can do shit like that. Yeah, but oh no, they didn't ask me just because I wasn't born yet or working in television or whatever.
Or it's like an ocean episode.
Screw you, Ron Howard.
But he was originally supposed to direct this. He got hired on. He directed it for 2 weeks, and they fired him because apparently the executive didn't like him or some shit.
Well, he was showing up drunk all the time.
Yeah.
And just, like, really belligerent. Uh-huh. And
I just think he was showing up just being like, hey, what, me? I should play this role.
Yeah. He's like, what if I act in this, guys? So we already cast
What if we
Tom
fire
Hanks.
Tom Hanks, who by this point is a huge star?
Yeah.
And I'm Turner.
But me, who I'm a little washed up.
Yeah.
No, thanks. My dick's not big enough.
His line readings actually survive. And if you got the deluxe version of the DVD, there'll be actual scenes of that, of him doing some of Tom Hanks's lines.
Who, Henry Winkler?
Henry Winkler, yeah.
Get the fuck out, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Because...
Yeah, that's a real thing she just made up now.
Yeah, you just made that up. There's no way that's a real thing. There's no way.
No, that's 100% real
thing. Why would I lie about that?
Yeah, that's
you know, I mean, the Christopher Walken chicken is real. Tom Hanks' penis is
very real.
Yeah.
Look, everything we say on this podcast is real. Yeah. We have never made up any stories.
I would never lie.
Anything.
Yeah. That fact, adjusted for inflation today, is worth 4,000 Tom Hanks.
Yes. So what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to get down to People's Choice Video. You're going to want to rent Turner and Hooch, check the special features, so you can find Henry Winkler doing some Tom Hanks lines.
So you talking about sponsor time?
I'm talking about sponsors.
Talking about sponsor time.
Yeah. Oh, you know, speaking of your sponsor, they outlived Blockbuster. So fuck you, Blockbuster.
Yeah. Fuck you, Blockbuster.
I went to People's Choice as a kid.
Yeah.
So yeah, yeah.
Keep going.
And you know, still here? My brother rented porn from there when he was older.
As he should.
Still have the adult room.
Yeah.
I'm
porn it up.
I'm sure. Okay, then I'm there.
Yeah.
Sign me up for an account. And
unless you have a delinquent one, and then they'll catch you in a lie.
I might, yeah. Like from, you know, like 1989 or something. That no, it would be
now
my dad's name.
Yeah. No, you're fine.
Yeah.
You're fine.
Pff, yeah. Give me. Yeah,
we can. Hey, you can look up how many porns your dad rented.
Yeah.
Did you transfer all those two
VHS times? Oh yeah, all that shit transfers over.
Okay, I didn't know, like, you know, put in the new computer system, or you just like have like little index cards.
Yeah, it's all just filed.
They're rocking Commodore 64Cs. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
Like Chinese counting.
It's like Apple Ones.
Oh damn,
Oregon Trail.
Yeah.
I'll wait around for you to fire up the Lisa and just tell me.
We're using Newtons.
That's for you, nerds.
We just have calculators. It's not even computers.
Wow.
No, so People's Choice Video, Southern Arizona's premier spot to buy, rent games, movies, adult movies,
you can rent,
everything.
Rent, earn, and hooch there for sure.
Yeah. Rent, earn, and hooch. Sell your shit. All that stuff. Also, Beer Geek Bakery.
Woo-woo!
Yes.
Beer Geek Bakery for providing us with the best pastries made with craft beer, local craft beer, and eventually national craft beer, I would say.
I've dabbled.
Have
but
you?
Only the good stuff.
Yeah. Everybody else who's not the good stuff. Take that.
Anheuser-Busch.
I mean, if you want to be known as the good stuff, pretty clearly just work with Beer Geek.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, we have another sponsor here today, Tanya's 33. Take it away, Erica.
Woo woo!
This shit's fucking delicious. Don't even pretend like you don't know that.
I didn't know I was
supposed
burrito. To talk about it.
Best burritos.
Well,
I'm
making
Tucson.
You talk about it.
All right, fine. Handmade flour tortillas.
Yum.
Sonoran style food. You know, you got the usual meats and vegan and vegetarian stuff as well. So, you know, you can bring all your buddies, your picky eaters. And we even do a token grilled cheese sandwich for that one person who
one
just
piece
like
of shit.
One asshole.
Like, oh, I just can't do ethnic food.
No,
you know, which by the way, I don't think Mexican food counts as ethnic food in
not in Arizona.
Not here.
Not
in Arizona.
Yeah,
no,
right?
No. Not in the entire
so, you know,
state, no.
your friend's being a butthole, but we'll still make him a grilled cheese sandwich. Should I have said that?
Yes.
No, I feel shit. Like you shouldn't make him a grilled cheese sandwich. I feel like you should make him a grilled cheese sandwich and then throw it on the ground in front of him.
Yeah, and then
and
be
like,
get some
eat it, you piece of shit.
Well, no, because we value our customers. You guys are family.
What?
And,
yeah,
and
that's
even,
not what
you know,
this podcast is about.
And everyone's got, you know, we love you all. So.
There is a difference. We do not value
you. Unless
anybody.
You don't tip,
no.
Then, you know, you make me kind of salty. But, I kid. I love you. I love burritos. And tacos.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's the best shit. Seriously, get in there and eat it.
Eat burritos, everybody.
Tanya
do
33.
It. Thank you. Or what I'll make my dad do it next time and you don't want to hear him talk up the M&O's.
What is that to-go thing? The call ahead so you don't have to wait in line?
Yeah, order online. Order online, pay online, and you won't wait in line.
he's got a pitch for it.
And it's true 99.9% of the time. Unless you have like some big ass order, then you know you might wait like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Anyway, go eat some fucking burritos, eat some Beer Geek Bakery pastries, rent some fucking porn.
Absolutely.
Follow our sponsors, like our sponsors.
We've got entertainment, dinner, and dessert.
Exactly.
That's right. Yeah. We're covering everything. Mm-hmm. We're covering everything you need to have a good night of good nights.
Yeah, good night of good shit, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this plot, because I feel like we're about 5 minutes in.
Yeah, we have not talked about the plot. But the plot is very simple.
Yeah.
Plot is very simple. So Tom Hanks is a cop in a very small town, has a friend that lives on the pier.
He's a fucking longshoreman who owns his fucking dog.
Yeah, owns
who
his giant
him?
Dog, Hooch.
And time traveled from the 50s. So
yes.
Let's not
yeah, clearly.
This.
But this
and
dog loves him.
Dog loves him. He loves the dog. Tom Hanks goes to visit him, and the guy complains like there's some shenanigans over there
some
at the
shit going on the pier.
Yeah, the pier. You don't even know. Shenanigans.
Fish packing.
Company.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then that night, bam, he gets
murdered.
Fucking killed.
He gets murdered. We see the murder go down.
Also, who sees the murder go down?
The
fucking
witness.
Dog.
Yeah.
One
so
witness.
Hooch is the only witness to this murder, which
in movies.
Again, he is a dog, everybody.
Yeah.
As much as I love my dog, she's a fucking asshole. Idiot. Yeah. She would not identify anything. You could dangle dead me, and she wouldn't give a fuck as long as there was food in her bowl.
Yeah. The Tom Hanks follows this weird idea that the dog could identify the murderer. And of course, because this is fucking movie reality, it happens.
It happens, right. Yeah. The murderer, of course, Eric Trump.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the dude looks exactly like fucking Eric Trump. Oh,
God, his hair.
And then, but before, actually, we get the murder, we get all that shit, right. And then we get like 35 minutes of hilarious Tom Hanks dealing with the dog.
More than that. So, yeah, they come in the next day, they see the murder. Hanks is, I'm going to get this guy, I'm going to use Hooch as the witness, blah, blah, blah.
Nobody can handle Hooch. Nobody can handle Hooch.
Nobody can handle Hooch. The animal control giant people can't French handle master. Him. Tom Hanks can't handle him. Nobody can handle him. He's dragging him outside the car, takes him to the vet. He's running around the vet's place.
Yeah, the vet's just throwing pussy at him. He's like, nope, nah, I got nothing to do with this shit.
Yeah, so the vet immediately...
We're confusing our pronouns right. here. I thought you were still talking about the dog.
Yes, both. Because the dog gets up.
The dog hooks up with like a Lassie dog. Yeah.
So
Border Collie.
While the vet is looking after Hooch, she starts laying down some game.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, I got shit to do, bitch. I got no time for any of this stuff.
Yeah.
He doesn't even notice. He's not even on that level of rejection. He's just, you know.
Yeah. He's worried about, he's spending $97.51 at the store for Hooch.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Which is the equivalent of about $190 in today's
No, I think
money.
You're very wrong about that.
I think adjusted for inflation is like $25,500.
Nah, bitches, because I looked it up on West Egg. So I asked an economist. So
I trust myself a little more than an economist.
This, we're kind of mathematicians.
Really?
We've really developed a lot into the inflation between 1980s and now.
Wow. It's 89, so $97.51.
It's like $4,392.
$4,392.
For a bag of dog food and some milk bones.
And 53 cents.
Yeah.
And
53 cents.
Yeah.
If you want to be exact.
Adjusted for inflation.
So about what I pay for my cat food as a spinster.
Right. Yes. Exactly.
Okay.
Because you have 1,000 cats.
I do.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No,
1,000.
I just have one cat, but she eats fancy French food, so and I wish I was kidding.
As much as regular.
Each one fancier.
That is not
than
a
last.
Joke. My dog, my dog and my cat both eat Royal Canin. So.
You don't say canine, you say canine.
It's canine.
It is canine.
I was
canine,
yeah.
Really?
In the packaging?
Yeah.
No.
It's canine.
I like how you phrase that as if it's their fault.
It is their fault.
It's because they're wonderful,
they're not
adorable
it.
Animals, and I love them, and I
they
want them to be healthy, and I want them to be happy, and apparently I want my cat's poop to stink really bad.
I
smell really wonderful when you cat sit her.
Here's what
she's
I'm
really
hearing.
It's wonderful when you cat
I'm hearing a lot of I. I'm hearing a lot of I. Not a lot of cats.
Because it's what they are going to eat. Mm. Cat and dog. Because
see,
remember
but you also have to understand, Eric, that when you do have a cat, there's always this fear in the back of your mind that they're going to smother you in your sleep. So you do kick back a little and
you
give them
really
something.
Hard like,
because cats can steal your breath.
No, they will steal your life.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is a very cat's eye.
Yeah, they're like the Ursula of the lands.
of non-sea.
Yeah. So
why do people own
so
cats?
Watch
They're
your
so
back,
evil.
Prince Eric, because my cat is going to put on an amulet
well,
with Francisco's
God.
Voice.
With Francisco's voice.
And a
Eric,
nice rack.
Come to me.
Yeah.
Come sexy. To me, Eric.
She's then, just going to be like, before you know it, that's
why
we're going to your wedding.
Are you pitching? I'm not sure exactly what you're pitching.
I'm hitting on you, dumbass.
Oh. And here I am, just Tom Hanksing it up.
Tom Hanks.
Did you not? I was pointing at my crotch and everything, just like the vet.
Wait, she does in this movie.
She literally does. She puts her hand in her pocket at an angle so that her thumb and her fingers are like just kind of framing
just
the
right,
V.
Yeah.
Right
so
just,
for like 45 minutes. The dog is going crazy.
And
Tom Hanks is going
crotch.
Crazy. It's just it's no detective work. It's just like, how funny is it for Tom Hanks to deal with a fucking dog? And then the dog gets laid.
Yes.
Right. And well, the dog, first of all.
Before he even takes a bath, because it takes 51 minutes of this movie, which is like, I don't know, like 4 days.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. In Tom Hanks' time. Yeah. So, which I don't buy, by the way.
After the scene with the vet, they go back to Tom Hanks' house. Tom Hanks goes to work after showing Hooch the rules, giving him the rule book.
Yeah.
Locking him up in, like, the closet.
Cares fucking not.
It's which not I think is also like a metaphor for Tom Hanks' character in this movie. Mm-hmm.
Like his budding sexuality?
That wild part of him that the authentic
Tom Hanks in this movie is a 13-year-old girl, it should be noted.
Hooch is a representation of Tom Hanks' cock in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, his dick.
Busting
wanting
through,
to be free from its vacuum packaging.
Yeah. It's true.
It runs directly to the veterinarian's office.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. He cares not about his dick until Hooch is loose, and then his dick is loose.
Yeah.
Exactly.
exactly what happened.
And by the way, having rampant, unprotected sex, you know, which I find it very curious that a veterinarian did not spay her
own dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems wildly.
That was a purebred
That seems
collie,
like
though.
Irresponsible even for the 80s.
That was a very sexy purebred collie.
Yeah.
So well, I can see why.
But also, that vet was clearly wanting to get laid, so
she's
trying to, like,
oh, so badly.
She's projecting onto the dog.
Her dog is her vagina.
Yeah.
I mean, when I identify with you as a character, you need to
We stumbled upon something here.
Yeah.
Yeah, this whole thing is a sexual metaphor for the relationship.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like layers.
Fucking Tom Hooch represents Tom Hanks' cock. Mm-hmm. The collie represents the fucking veterinarian's vagina.
Yeah.
And,
which I never picked up as a kid for some reason. I never got that metaphor.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was so obvious.
Dicks and vaginas.
Yeah.
I remember my parents took me to see this movie, and then afterwards we went to Caro's, which is a restaurant that used to exist before you millennials. And and then we just had like a really intense discussion about the use.
Safe sex?
Well, safe sex came a little later, like around dessert. Because first, you know, you had to get
really
to the
have, like a sex discussion after this movie?
Well, we had to have like, you know, it was really more a discussion of the use of metaphor and animals as a metaphor in this
movie.
Wow,
your parents picked up on that.
It's a very grown-up discussion.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, you know, I started school very young. So around the time the movie came out, I think I was a senior in high school. So, which makes me about, let's see, this was 89.
78 years old.
Yeah. No. It was, let's see, 79. So I was
this
about,
was
like, so I was like 9. So senior high school.
90 years old.
No. But see, I lost. Anyway, you were saying about the plot.
No, your parents picked up on the sexual innuendo on this.
That was totally a true story.
Yeah,
again.
It was absolutely. Yeah. Every time we went, I remember after.
Erica is not making any of this up.
No, not at all. You should have heard the discussion my dad and I had after watching Dick Tracy over
pancakes.
Is it
because his name was Dick?
Yeah.
You know.
No, it was because Tracy, actually.
Because of the Tracy
Because
part.
It's a girl's name, but he's clearly a guy.
Yeah. And his first name is Dick.
And
you
have to remember that.
He's Dick and Tracy. Clearly, that's what his name is.
Well, the use of dick to mean the genitals of a man is actually a fairly modern invention. Before, dick was just kind of like a generic, you know, for any... The way we would say fellow, you know, it was like, that's some dick over
Tom,
there.
Tom, Dick, and Harry.
Yeah. That's actually why in Persuasion, when you think it's a dick joke, when Austin talks about Richard Musgrove never earning the distinction of being called anything more than Dick Musgrove, and you think, ha ha ha, it's a dick joke. Nah, because he's just like a
person.
He's just like a nobody. He's generic, so that's why he's...
What happened to Tom and Harry in that?
I don't know when they came in.
Because Dick stayed strong.
Well,
it did.
Yeah. Tom and Harry, though. I mean, Tom, maybe. But Harry.
Harry, well, you know, Harry comes and goes in waves. It's always a fad.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's Harry, sometimes it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Depends on the...
Yeah.
Depends on the style of the day.
Yeah, exactly.
1989, probably getting towards the wax.
Getting there.
I would say Tom Hanks looked like he was pretty nicely shaving.
He's manscaping
it up. He's manscaping a little bit.
He had like a pretty nice thatch of torso hair.
Yeah, he's still chest hair.
He wasn't like all over the place. He wasn't like disco 70s.
No. He was a classic otter.
Yeah, he was
classic otter.
I would still say that he's gay. And the whole time he's just pretending to be straight, and he's like,
that's pretty clear.
Yeah, yeah. Banging the chick, but he's super neat, and he's like,
and he has no real interest in her.
No, not at all. He's really all about his work, and his other friends, I would say. I don't know.
Just because you two assholes are really filthy and disgusting does not make a tidy man a gay person.
I would say in 1999 it does. In 1999 it does.
He's coded. For
a point of order, Francisco actually has one of the cleanest apartments I've ever visited that belonged to a man who lived alone.
I am a very neat person. I'm also gay. So there you go.
Well, no, I didn't say you were, you know, like cliche gay. Tidy. I mean,
I'm just regular.
I mean, I look in the corner.
Yeah, just regular. Yeah, not cliche gay. I'm a very normal gay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Exactly. Also, worth noting, up for the part of Tom Hanks' Scott Turner, Dudley Moore turned on the part. Also,
Jack Nicholson,
Bill Murray, Chevy Chase, and what's his fucking name from Night Court?
John Lithgow.
John Lazarus.
Larroquette.
John Larroquette.
You monster.
Yeah, we're...
John Larroquette. Come on, Tom.
John Larroquette turned on this part.
Yeah.
That Silver Fox before it was even
I would say out of all of them, though, Bill Murray is the only one.
Yeah.
No, John Larroquette. That's my dream.
You think John Larroquette?
I think
John Larroquette, yes, but the because movie does not make $71 million.
Well, he has that pompous voice. Yeah. You know, and bearing, and yet he knows how to take a pratfall. So I think, like, if they couldn't have gotten Tom Hanks, John Larroquette would have made, like, a really good second choice.
That actually would have made a lot of sense. I can see. Yeah.
And it would have been more within budget than Bill Murray, too.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Bill Murray probably costs a lot of fucking money. Yeah. So anyway, back to the plot on this, because, as simple as it is, it really is, like, three things in this plot. I think, right? It's like, Tom Hanks is super neat, number one. He gets a big slobbery dog, number two. He solves the fucking case, number three.
Using the big slobbery dog. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. So, he hooks up with the veterinarian eventually. First of all, he goes over there, paints her house because of his OCD. Mm-hmm. He can't not...
Yeah, so
he can't leave it, like, half painted.
No, she's like... throwing pussy at him, and he's like, what about the walls, though?
Yeah, the you're walls, like, you're not, it's not done with the paint on the walls, the paint.
And she's like, we should make the pussy, and he's like, no.
That's a real condition. Like, let's, you know,
OCD is a real condition.
Let's not make fun, but let's absolutely make fun, because she is throwing it at him.
Yeah.
He gets laid, he bangs her.
He bangs her eventually. Finally, like, then 3 nights later.
Yeah.
He paints her hallway.
He paints her hallway white.
And then there's this, like, scene where they're in the kitchen and he's still in his fucking underwear.
Yeah.
And she's just throwing it at him again and, like, rubbing her ass on him and everything.
She does
like
a grind worthy Rex and Effect video.
It's a good grind.
Also, no bra in that. And, like, hard nipples.
That was the only hard nipple that I saw.
Yeah. There was hard nipples in that, no bra, and she grinds on his cock. And then he's like, wait a minute. Yeah. I'm detecting some detective stuff.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I was going to have
I'm not
sex
gay.
With you.
I totally want to have sex with you, but I've got to go detect detective things happening.
I swear to God, I want to have sex with you, but I got to do some detective shit.
Yeah. It's a very absolutely true thing that I would like to have sex with you.
He went and sat in the car for like 10 hours
with the
dog.
Fucking dog. Yeah.
Because again, that's the true romance of this story.
Yeah.
He got high as fuck off of a milk bone.
Somehow he starts acting super high. Like, I don't know if it's just because he's supposed to be tired or if they just cut the scene where he smokes a lot of weed.
Maybe they did.
I have been to the dispensary and they have dog treats.
Sure,
I'm serious. Like CBD.
I know they do.
Actual dogs?
Yeah. So, you know, I could see if it was like one of those or like the,
but
you
those
know,
didn't exist back then.
I know. No, that, yeah. I'm thinking of the gritty reboot, Eric.
Well, my thinking though, I'm thinking behind.
Yeah.
You're behind. Oh.
Hey.
No, I'm thinking because this movie... it was a PG movie, right?
Yeah, PG.
It was a kid's movie.
Ostensibly.
It's sort of. It's a family film.
Did not even make the PG-13?
It's a family film. No. Like, I watched this movie a bunch as a kid. It's a family film.
A whole bunch.
But I'm thinking maybe it's one of those films where they start making it. It's maybe supposed to be more of an adult film. They have a scene where he's smoking weed. Then they're like, no, it's a kid's movie now. Let's just cut that scene, but let's leave the bit where he's acting super hot.
Well, he does. He acts super fucking high in that car. With Hooch.
So, Henry Winkler, if you're listening, please confirm this theory. Because we have a feeling that was your fault.
Or any one of the five 5 writers of this movie.
Yeah, 5 fucking... That's a red flag.
Or the ghosts of any of the 4 dogs that played Hooch.
Yeah, there were 4 dogs. All of them long, long dead.
Yes. Although only one gets credit.
But we're going to have a Ouija board next week to talk to
To the dogs.
All 4 dogs.
All 4 dogs.
Invoke the spirits.
Yes. Especially you, Beasley, because we know you're the real star of
you're the one that got the front billing, so you must have done some work.
Right,
so so he stakes out the fish plant, goes in the next day with the dog. The stakeout seems to prove nothing other than he sees when the main guy leaves.
Yeah, he doesn't really pick up on anything.
Other than that, there's no real reason for it. Then he goes in with Hooch. They smell
and
around
Carl
the...
Carl Wendell.
And, yeah, yeah. And,
yeah, whatever. And the black guy, whatever. No, he goes in with the dog.
They find plastic bags that match the plastic bag of money that they found.
So stupid. That's
which,
not even a clue.
It's just a plastic bag.
In a packing company.
And then a dog found.
Yeah. Which means really nothing.
Nothing.
Well, and he did that classic Hollywood thing where you get an untrained dog and you're like, here, dog, sniff this.
Sniff that.
And then somehow the dog sniffs it.
All dogs can do that.
Or my dog doesn't even I put food down for my dog and he like looks at me confused.
That's your dog. Your dog is very dumb.
He is very dumb, yes. I mean, I love you, Fitz. I'm sorry, but you're dumb.
No, we've all had dogs and the dogs don't do that. They're stupid idiots. Who
adorable,
just really wants our attention
idiots.
All the time. So no matter what I do, as long as I'm giving
they're
going to
start
attention,
jumping. Yeah, they're like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. You want me to sniff that? Yeah, I'll sniff that. I'll sniff everything. Fuck. Yeah.
They're ready to party, man. That's the thing about dogs. They're the coolest party animals because no matter what's going on, if you get super excited and ready to party, the dog is ready to party.
They're into it.
Yeah. They're down to do what fucking ever. If you're like, hey, buddy, you want to get fucked up tonight and kill some bitches? And they're like, let's fucking do that. Yeah. You want to get put down tonight? They're like, let's get put down
as long
tonight.
As you act excited about it, they're excited.
You want to get shot in the back of the head out in the field? They're like, fuck yeah, let's do that shit.
What did you do to your pets? Dogs.
Many dogs have died.
How about just like cuddle and eat a bunch of pizza? Jeez, dude.
Yeah,
I mean, if you're into that.
Yeah, I guess. But
I mean, whatever weird shit. I mean, I don't judge. If you're into some weird shit, you're into some weird shit. Whatever.
Oh, like you've never fed a dog a McNugget, Eric.
Eric has no pets.
No.
He's soulless, remember?
I hate all living things.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
So that obviously includes animals.
Yeah.
And yet I heard a rumor you wanted a cat. Like Francisco
that's
kept saying.
That's a dumb rumor.
Eric really wants to get
some man-eating
pussy.
Lion.
I did.
Right?
I did spread the rumor that you wanted a cat. I did say you wanted a cat.
Oh, okay. A lion.
Only a man-eating one, though. Like the one from Ghost in the Darkness.
Yeah. I'm glad you're not picky. I'm glad you're not like one of those, I just want a lion. I want a liger, you know? Yeah.
No. Just a lion. Actually, I'd take any giant man-eating cat. Yeah.
He's also got his crabs to keep it company.
I mean, I do know. that's a good point. I do have those are pets. In
there's
a way.
So many of them.
Animals.
Now I'm itchy.
Yeah. On that note, let's get to the end of the movie.
Let's get to the end of the movie. So Tom Hanks, eventually he figures the whole thing out. He tracks the dude down to the hotel. They get in a big old fight. Again, seatbelts, people. Mm-hmm. A lesson that's taught to us throughout this movie.
Yeah, that was a lot of very unsettled foreshadowing.
Yeah, Tom Hanks rams the car into a wall. The dude goes flying out there. Hooch grabs him. Tom Hanks grabs him. They question him. Eventually, he goes back to the warehouse to
the, like fish market. Thing.
Yeah, to uncover it all. And who shows up there? But we haven't mentioned him. He's been in the whole movie.
Craig T. Nelson.
CTN up in this bitch.
Yeah, second appearance by him.
Second appearance, third coach reference for a show that I barely remember and didn't really watch.
No, fuck that. He was a coach. I
just remember Boomer being stupid.
Yeah,
that's right. He was a dumbass. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, so dumb.
Mm-hmm. It's just like Woody Harrelson in Cheers. He's just a dumb dude.
But he wasn't even like.
But unlike
like
Woody Harrelson,
dumb,
he didn't
like
become
Alice
like
Ghostly.
An awesome dramatic actor.
No. He was just a blonde dude that disappeared.
Yeah. So thank he God. Shows up for some reason, and Tom Hanks realizes something's fishy here, and it's not just the fish.
Oh!
Thought you were going to say the vet.
There's
the vet is very fishy.
Missed opportunity, Eric.
Well, they're in a fish market, though.
Just go back and edit it so that you
works.
Say that.
That joke still works.
Yeah.
Okay.
Through the world of convoluted film plot points.
Somehow, Craig T. Nelson is in charge of the whole thing.
Without any explanation, Craig T. Nelson is in charge of the whole fucking
thing. Because it's a twist.
No, they explained it because it's a small town and he's the police chief.
And they knew he
and
could
then
get
the
in.
Other guy had like blocks of ice and money and, you know.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
So anyways, there's a big fight.
And they never meant to kill anyone.
Bottom line, before Craig T. Nelson can kill Tom Hanks, Hooch comes and saves him.
Jumps up and bam, the other dude shoots
him. It's the other guy. Yeah, the other guy's about to kill Tom Hanks. And Hooch comes in, saves him, but gets shot. Then he saves Tom Hanks again.
Yeah, by biting Craig T. Nelson.
By biting Craig T. Nelson. And then Tom Hanks takes that opportunity to wrestle with Craig T. Nelson in the non-sexy way.
And then shoots him, in the fucking stomach.
Again, the non-sexy way.
Yeah.
Shotgun.
Shoots at him with the shotgun in a non-sexy way.
And Craig T. Nelson dies. Tom Hanks becomes the new police chief. Marries the
Hooch
veterinarian.
Dies.
Hooch dies.
That's
very sad.
Don't polish after over
the
Hooch
and,
dies.
And I like to mention that the veterinarian did nothing.
That's true.
She ran an IV, maybe. No, but I meant to save Hooch.
He brings
not her hobbies.
Yeah, because she doesn't want to save Hooch.
He brings Hooch, and then she's just like, "Oh, sorry, we can't save him. Yeah. I'm the center of your universe."
I'm actually sure that the drug that she pushed was to put Hooch down.
Yeah,
it's
got to
be.
Sense.
Because, you know, she ran the fluids and she didn't even run them like at full blast. She
what
didn't say
fucking
any
monster.
She didn't, and she obviously knew that he was coming,
full
and she wasn't like, well, you know, because she, you know, she's she's a small town vet, so she's probably not going to have like, you know, dog blood in the fridge the way like a big town vet like here in Tucson would,
or just a private individual.
Yeah, you know, like I know, you know, I've seen your freezer, you know,
I
know. I
mean, I
how
have
you
all,
roll.
I got, you know, dog, horse.
No, but I'm just saying, like at some
you
point,
horse.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
I got that too.
I'm just saying that at some point he obviously contacted her before.
Yeah,
on his way.
On the way there.
And instead of saying like,
although,
maybe
wait,
you should
wait,
go
wait,
to
wait,
the vet to a veterinary
wait.
Hospital, she's like, no, bring him over.
How would he have contacted her on the way? They don't have cell phones.
I'm guessing police radio. Telling the dispatcher,
call her.
Tell her that we're on her way.
Is that Carl Winslow?
Fair
but
enough.
See, the thing
Carl
is,
Winslow.
But see, the thing is,
Reginald Veljohns.
They should have. I don't know. I just feel like that's just like
no. That's
it
she
reflects badly.
Didn't save her on purpose.
Yeah,
she didn't do
purpose.
Anything.
Yeah,
she
sure.
put in the IV, which I don't even think she hooked up. She pushed the meds. you know, she's like, oh, hold this gauze. I guess
just another example of why healthcare in America is broken.
Yeah.
Fuck
yeah.
That bitch. Save Hooch, you fucking cunt. Like save Hooch.
Yeah. I'm tired.
No. Hooch dies.
Hooch dies in this movie. Yeah, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
After the fact, Hooch dies in this movie.
And all because of a pickup artist. That's the real
Pickup artist.
Person who killed Hooch.
Yeah.
Not the bullet.
Not the bullet.
Ripping
it's not,
through
it's
his
not,
little dog
it's
heart.
It's not the bullet that kills. I do not kill with my gun. I kill with my heart.
Yeah.
Dark Tower, point tell me an audience.
Also, like, Hooch fucking, like, he didn't have to die, and then they ran both endings with test audiences. They fucking tested exactly the same, but they noticed that people cried more when Hooch died.
Well, yeah.
So they're like, let's do that. Yeah.
Let's do the cry ending.
That just seems cruel.
Yeah.
Henry Winkler would never have pulled that shit.
That's why they fired him. He didn't want to kill Hooch.
I don't
fuck
care
this.
Hooch
what's
died.
This guy's name? This other director?
Roger Spottiswood?
Yeah, fuck you, Roger. Just fuck you.
Spottiswood?
But we get ourselves a little bit of a happy ending because previously mentioned, Hooch was getting it in.
Yeah, he's banging
he?
A collie.
And
damn, a litter of collies and one Hooch.
And one Hooch, because that's how genetics work.
that's
genetics how genetics work.
As in you
no,
get...
excuse me, did you ever see the chart in biology class? You know, you got the X, the
and
X, the X. And the,
No, you get
that's how it happened.
Six
collie, Hooch.
One purebred French Mastiff. That's how it works.
Yep.
And he's tearing shit up. And also, true to
he's
form,
just hooching it up.
Tom Hanks gives no fucks about the vet still.
No, he
who, by the way,
Hooch.
Is also pregnant.
He's just like, oh, yeah, hey, honey, whatever. Where's the dog?
Yeah, what? I got you pregnant, whatever. My mom is happy now. But whatever. Where's the fucking dog that I really care about? because I am a homosexual man.
Yep.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just, you know, it was 1989.
It's just clearly.
And a small town.
He's a gay guy working really hard to prove that he's not a gay guy.
But, you know, I have a feeling that, like, it's just in a few short years, probably after 9/11, when he's, like, all shook up, you know, like, his entire world. Yeah, his entire world is, like, just upended, and he just, like, realizes, like, oh, shit.
47, and he's like, fuck this bullshit. Yeah. Fuck your stupid dogs and your veterinary clinic and our kids.
He leaves her with 15 dogs.
And I'm tired of you scratching my back.
He leaves her with, like, 15 dogs and, like, 4 kids, and he's like, I'm going to be a gay guy now. Yeah. And he's just in parades and shit.
He takes, you know, he transfers to San Francisco, you know, and...
You did mention, though, I did want to point that out. There's a really nice detail after the first time they fuck where he's all scratched up on his back.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a nice detail. I really liked that a lot. That's a little realism. I don't think that
was intentional, though.
That may have just been Tom Hanks may have just had sex the night before.
It could have actually just been from the dog, because my dog has like scratched my legs and stuff before without meaning to. So
again, the true remember
there was
the
wrestling scene with the dog. Yeah. And Tom Hanks was
my
topless.
Dog. He scratches my back. She scratches my back all the time. She gives me hickeys on my neck.
Yeah, the dog.
She leaves
does
text
that.
Messages on my phone all the time. There's panties all over my place.
It's all because of the dog.
That's all the dog.
It's all the dog.
And what breed of dog is that again?
She's a purebred sluttish.
Purebred Douglas whore.
But that's the end of the movie.
Yeah, that's it. That's a very simple plot for this fucking movie.
It is.
Yeah.
It was meant to be. It was.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be.
It really is about the chemistry between one Tom Hanks and four
dogs.
And
a giant dog.
Yeah, and you can't get better than that.
I'm pretty sure the other dogs are just stand-in dogs. And like,
I mean, the main dog is the only one that credited. Yeah.
Hooch, if you will.
Sure.
Also, I wanted to point out that during this movie,
I'm glad
we had the question of why was there never a movie where John Candy was a fucking dog catcher?
Yes! Right.
So we had two very important what-ifs. So the first of all, is John Candy as a dog catcher, which just writes itself.
As dog catchers.
Cher is the romantic interest, sure.
Which just fucking writes itself.
Yeah.
Oh my God, right, that's the funniest thing I ever heard.
Yeah.
Because I came up with it, but yeah.
Yeah, that's obviously gold. And then also, they set up at the end of this movie, Son of Hooch.
Yeah, clearly. And there was no Son of Hooch.
There was no Son of Hooch.
No. Just like Turner in bed. No follow through.
He fucks once and he's just like, I'm really tired.
Do you think she got pregnant that night?
Yes,
do you think
of that course
was it?
She got pregnant
that was
night.
The one time?
There's no way he fucked her after that.
Well, how long are dogs pregnant for? That should give you a good timeline. Of,
dogs
like
have their
months?
Kids pretty quick.
Like 4 months or something like that? 3 months?
Because she looked like she was about, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 months along.
Yeah. The science checks
out. So maybe
out
it wasn't even his.
I will say the science checks out.
The science completely checks out.
I don't know.
100%.
I think the science checks out as like a...
We are all scientists as well as mathematicians here, so...
Yes.
Oh, right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, don't question.
Don't question our logic.
I'm sorry. I keep forgetting I was a humanities major and I don't know any of this.
We are the
STEM
smartest
bullshit
people in
you
the
will
world.
Ever meet.
I am so sorry. I do apologize for
that. But yeah, that's the movie. I liked it a lot as a kid. It's okay, I guess.
It's pretty fun, man. It's a pretty fun movie.
Yeah, watch it with your kids.
Yeah,
watch it with your kids.
It'll make you not
don't
want
watch
a
it
big
with your
dog,
kids.
But make your kids want a big dog.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
And I did have a huge Mastiff for a while as a kid, and it was pretty fun.
Did
you say.
For you, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, for me. I'm sure for my parents it was miserable,
it was
but for me it was super...
Tell us your dog's name.
Bubba. Oh. And he was giant and did, like Hooch, where Hooch would get wherever he wanted, whenever he wanted... We had a 6.5-foot fence around our place. That dog did not give one shit about that 6.5-foot fence.
I'm out. He's like, I'm out, motherfucker. Yeah.
There's
that dog
a
went
down
where
the
he wanted, where he went, wanted, when he wanted. Because, you know, he was a fucking 130-pound giant dog. He
named Bubba.
Whatever.
Yeah,
named
Bubba.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right,
shout outs to Bubba.
The world was his fleshlight.
Yeah, yeah. It really was.
He was the best, I would say. I mean, not better than my dogs, but the best for you, I guess.
The best for me.
All right, let's get to recommendations on this.
Sure, recommendations. Who wants to start?
All right, I will start. I'm going to recommend the 70s movie White Dog. So, because of the fucking dog. White Dog is a movie, it's a 70s exploitation movie. It's about this dog that gets loose, and this guy adopts him, or this lady adopts him. Now I can't remember because I'm too drunk. But he was trained to kill black people, this dog. And she takes him over to this guy who's a trainer who's
so
a
he was like
guy.
A police dog or
no yeah exactly
yeah retired police dog
yeah
that's exactly
he was an Alabama police dog
or an LA
in
police
1960
dog.
His whole fucking life he's trained to kill black people, and he runs amok for a little bit, and they catch him, and then the whole thing is them trying to break him out of this fucking habit, and it's like a metaphor for like racial tensions back in the 70s and all that.
Back
shit.
In the 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not now, no, just no, in the no. 70s. Yeah, we are cured of that. We've had a black president, sir.
Yeah, that's true.
That's cured. It's a blank slate.
Yeah.
It's a blank
slate. We're in a post-racial world.
Yeah. <Very true. laughs> But they break him kind of out of it, and it's got this whole
only
thing
kind
about.
Of?
No, they actually do break him out.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
So
I'm glad it's a happy movie.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good.
He does kill a couple of black people on the way there. Just so you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that part was not that fun. But look this up. It's a kind of a hard movie to find, but a really cool like 70s exploitation movie to find.
Would People's Choice have?
No, absolutely not.
Oh, damn. Well, I tried.
You're talking about
something. Way to throw our sponsor under the bus.
I'm sorry. I thought it was, trying to help you guys.
Yeah, no,
here's
it's
this
fine.
Cold,
it's
obscure movie that we have.
Yeah.
Would you order it for a connoisseur?
Yeah,
sure,
of course.
A lot of people.
Sure,
come on in.
And there you go.
Yeah. It's actually a really fun cool movie. But that's where I'm going to go with White Dog. Look it up.
But since you're the one running your lip, why don't you recommend a movie next, Erica?
I didn't know we were supposed to recommend movies. All right, so I didn't come prepared. But
No.
I'm gonna my mouth works. So
yeah, it does.
So I'm gonna recommend the 1995 Pride and Prejudice, and here's why: because there's a nice big ass dog in that. It's a Great Dane. Mr. Darcy plays with it. It's very adorable. Lizzie plays with it. You know, dog's still super cute and. I don't know. He's like in a few hours of it. It's like a 6-hour thing. Yeah, it's a good way to spend a Saturday night.
Loving on that Pride and Prejudice dog.
Yeah. Right. The dog, not Colin Firth. That would just be a pointless waste of time and batteries. But. What did I just say? Okay.
I remember that.
No, I mean, it has a dog in it.
It's a really good movie.
Yeah, it's got dogs. A dog.
It's got dogs.
One dog.
It might have another dog I never noticed. I just, because a big dog's so pretty.
Yeah.
Playing with Colin Firth is so pretty. Did I mention that Elizabeth Bennet has very solid rack in that? So, you know, that also relates to your interests.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Say that again without knocking the microphone.
I'm sorry. Jennifer Eale, who plays Elizabeth Bennet, also has an extremely nice pair of comadres that are always on display because, you know, corsets.
Yeah.
So check it out, you know, for the dogs and for the boobs.
And for the corsets, yeah.
The boobs, yeah.
I mean the story, the romantic.
Yeah, all the story with the dog and all that.
Very romantic.
Yeah, not the big boobs and see-through dresses. That's not a good reason to watch.
Right.
That's the only reason.
Emily?
Okay, so going with being taken out of your element and just kind of not knowing what you're getting yourself into, that whole storyline, I'm going to go with Overboard with Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell, because she is a hoity-toity debutante. She gets thrown into the ocean by her asshole husband off their yacht. Kurt Russell is her carpenter, who she treated like shit. He finds her, and she's got amnesia. She doesn't know where she's from. So then he takes her home to his, like, five boys or four boys, and it's a hellhole. And it's hilarious because she has to, like, they convince her that she's mom, and they torture her, and it's fucking funny.
It's just gentle slavery.
Would you say that in that movie, Kurt Russell is just a big slobbering dog?
Oh, totally. I mean, I'm in every movie, he's just a big slobbering dog, but that's why I love him.
Yeah, you know, like when he's like all topless but still wearing suspenders for some reason.
And
he's
stroking
just like,
him up and down.
Like,
and
I'm like, yeah.
Lord, just like that, dog would do.
And like his chest is like all shiny from sweat, you know, because it's like, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. You know, and yeah, like he just totally enslaved a woman and gaslighted
it's
her.
So funny.
It's one of my favorite movies.
It's so romantic.
So romantic.
It is literally one of my favorite movies.
And then, because of romance.
In a weird turn of events, she falls in love with him.
Oh, right. Absolutely. Yeah.
And you know, together they smash the patriarchy. Or
it's
not.
That's usually how it works.
Yeah.
It's and then he gets to live off of her wealth for the rest of his life. So it's just it's so
exactly.
Funny.
So his horrible spoiled children just basically grow up into the Trumps.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a happy ending.
It's an origin story for the president.
Yeah, it basically is.
It is a great movie. I actually can't believe none of us recommend. I guess it was just you and me on the Private Benjamin episode, but it remarkable that neither one of us recommended that movie.
Yeah, no joke. Yeah,
no joke. So I'm going to recommend. I'm thinking dogs, and so I'm going to recommend a little book called Big Mutt, and this is a novel that I read as a kid. About a giant dog in North Dakota that fights wolves and wolverines and is just the kickest ass dog that a boy ever had. And it's a great book that I loved a lot when I was like seven. No, his name was Mutt.
Was he giant and red?
Are you sure?
Yes. He was a giant red dog.
I would like to object because I thought we had to recommend a movie.
We do have to recommend movies. I'm actually going to recommend.
Book.
I'm actually going to recommend.
You clearly never listen to the podcast. Eric,
I recommend whatever the fuck
movies.
I want.
I'm usually asleep by this point. No offense. It's just I like listening to your voices.
I know my voice soothes you to sleep. I
recommended a video game one time and an episode of The Simpsons another time.
No, I will recommend a movie, and again, in keeping with tradition, I'm going to recommend a Studio Ghibli movie.
What?
What? I don't know. Dog movies, whatever. Old Yeller, I guess. I don't. Who gives a shit? The only Studio Ghibli movie I could really think about with a dog in it is Princess Mononoke, and that dog is actually three wolves, and that movie is fucking phenomenal.
And that is one of the best fucking Ghibli movies that there are.
It's
and
not
I've
only
seen
one of the
it.
Best Studio Ghibli movies. Wow, that is surprising.
It is, right?
It's amazing.
In theaters. I saw it in theaters, too. I want credit for this.
Good job.
Oh, podcast listener people,
good
all three
job,
of you,
Erica.
I don't normally watch movies at all.
Yeah,
so.
she doesn't watch many movies.
Yeah.
That's amazing that you actually saw this movie. But yeah, it's one of my absolute favorite movies, full stop. It's an incredible film that shows the complexity of people and situations and dealing with the environment and like how and it's not a cut and dry like, oh, environment good, people bad. Like it's a very complex movie. That really gets into spirituality, but also reality and like what that compromise is.
It's a great fucking movie.
So in your face, Fern Gully.
Yeah, no, it's
no,
much
real,
much better. It's much much better than Fern Gully
and Avatar.
Yeah, much much
shit.
Better.
Fuck that shit.
Yeah,
and
like
it has some of the most
shit.
Insane action sequences.
Yeah, it's fucking amazing.
Beautifully rendered.
But is Kurt Russell sweaty in it?
Kurt Russell is very sweaty.
Is Kurt Russell a slobbery dog?
That's why I watched it.
The whole thing is rotoscoped Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
So it's very, very sexy.
It's like rubbing oil into his
And it's
pants.
Just different versions. So the wolves are him with the long facial hair.
Yeah.
So
and
the girls are him when he's more clean cut. So
perfect.
Yeah.
All right.
This is the end of the podcast. Next week, we're going to be talking about National Lampoon's Christmas
Vacation.
I'm
so fucking excited.
You can't be on the show.
Literally, like, Christmas in June.
Well, you can't be on the show, Emma.
Well, I'll fucking bring this motherfucker to the ground.
Yeah.
She loves this movie a whole lot.
Oh, my God. You have no idea.
That's the way you feel about that is the way I feel about Working Girl.
Yay!
What, Ellen, we didn't have room that episode.
I know, and I told you, Francisco, but you were like, oh, we already recorded that episode. Because I don't talk about my podcast until, like, I've known you for 8 years.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's pretty true.
So I'm really sad about that.
But also, Working Girl sucks.
No, it doesn't. I will fight you on this.
Nah,
Francisco's about to pee his pants.
I gotta pee.
Well, go pee.
All right.
You got a cup.
That's
the end of the podcast.
That's the end of the podcast. Until next week, blockheads, thanks for joining us. Email us at blockbusternostalgia@gmail.com, Twitter, 80s Movie Podcast, and follow us on Facebook. Please tell your friends, your family, your hated enemies.
The people whose pants you're trying to get into, but they don't notice because they have their own sexual identity issues that they're dealing with. They don't have time for your fucking hallway.
Obviously, they've got a lot of dog issues going on with murders. Until next week,
I'm Francisco Landin.
And he's
I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Emma Peterson.
And I'm Erica Lira.
Good night, blockheads, and good journey.
We love you.